Are you going to self-manage it, or are you going to hire a property manager and a property management company? Anytime we're running numbers, we prepare for the worst and we hope for the best. So the management fee, let's go with 10%.
You're listening to 5-Hour Real Estate Week, where you'll learn to consistently buy real estate in only 5 hours a week. So if you're ready to invest in real estate, achieve financial freedom, and own the lifestyle you deserve, even with your job, this is the show for you. Now, here's your host, Mike Butler.
Okay there. In this episode, we're going to what I call run your numbers. And this is a formula that sort of kind of created back in the day, because how do you figure out if this is going to be a good rental property, or is it going to be a good one to buy, fix up, and retail? Something like that. So running your numbers here is, I would highly recommend you get a pencil, ink pen, crayon, notebook, and scribble down these things. So we got two ways to run your numbers. The first one is how to run your numbers for rental property. The second one is how to run your numbers for a retail deal, okay? They have two different purposes, and you need to know this regardless of if you're going to wholesale, buy, fix up, and retail, and or buy and hold, your three exit strategies we talked about before. Now, the reason you need to know these things, even if you're not going to retail it, even if you're not going to buy and hold, even if, well, you're always going to be able to wholesale them, but you need to know this information so that you can be the expert when you're talking with, let's say you're going to wholesale it to another investor. Well, you need to know these numbers so that you can appear to your investor to look like you know what you're doing, okay? And if you're going to make it a buy and hold, this is a one surefire way, proven system to know that you've got a killer deal. So let's start off with running your numbers for a rental property. Now, it used to be they would do things like this. Okay, and I'm just going to rattle these off. So they'd say something like this. Okay, what's it going to rent for? How much is your house payment? Then take off property taxes, insurance, repairs, and then whatever's left over, you get. Okay, and I don't like that program. You know why? Because I never want to be called a leftover. I don't want to get what's left over. Okay. So we're going to change leftovers to pay me first. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. On the first line, if you got your crayon and your notebook handy, I want you to write down rent. And this is going to be market rent. And just to make this simple for education purposes, let's say that this puppy's going to rent for $1,000. Well, right underneath that, I want you to put on that line, pay me first. Now, how much do you want to make on this property every month? Okay, so in this example, I'm going to say do $300. So I'm going to pay me first $300, or it's not worth me doing it. Now we're going to take the property tax bill for this property, divide it by 12. So it's going to be 1/12 of the annual property tax bill. And this is going to be $75, let's say in my town. Next, we're going to do insurance. So take the annual premium for the insurance divided by 12, and that'll be 1/12 of the annual insurance premium is $40. Then repairs. Now, you've got to set aside some money, okay, and allow for repairs, but here's what I'm going to assume. I'm going to assume that this property that you buy, counting your sale price, closing cost, and all the rehab you do before you put it in service, okay, so it'll pass your 159-point rent-ready checklist, okay, this thing's going to be in tip-top shape. So we're going to allow, say, $60 a month for repairs. Now, some years is going to be less than that. Some years going to be a little bit more, but it's going to average that. And we're talking about what kind of a house? Let's do like the 3-bedroom, 1-bath, ranch, 1-story. Okay, low maintenance kind of stuff. Now, is it in a homeowners association? Okay, you cannot forget about that. So if it's in a homeowners association, you're going to have to take whatever your annual dues is on that. and divide that by 12 and plug that number in there. The next one is it in a floodplain? Now, floodplain is a whole different set of variables we got to factor in. But we're going to say on this one, no, it's not in a floodplain. Okay, and we'll talk about floodplains later on. So then the next line underneath that is, are you going to self-manage it or are you going to hire a property manager and a property management company? Anytime we're running numbers, we prepare for the worst and we hope for the best. So the management fee, let's go with 10%. And talking about property management companies, it's sort of kind of like you pay peanuts, you get monkeys. And with management fee of 10%, that's what I charge. My company charges me 10% to manage my own properties. Okay. So if we've got a rent of $1,000, 10% of that is $100. So if you run all the numbers up and down there, 1,000 minus 300 minus 75 for property tax minus 1/12 insurance, $40, repairs, $60, no HOA, and $100 for a management fee. Well, that means that number that is down there at the bottom is $425. Now, that $425 is a very important number, and I'm going to refer to it as what they talk about most of the time in commercial investing, and that's called debt service. So here's what it boils down to. As long as, let's say I'm going to buy it, fix it up, get a loan on it. As long as my monthly PI payment, not PITI, we've already factored in the TI, the taxes and insurance. So as long as my principal and interest payment does not exceed $425 a month, yeah, I'll make $300 a month on this thing. Okay? Now, what if I find out, and I want you to go on your cell phone here, and I've got an Android business phone. My wife loves that Apple Raspberry Blueberry phone or whatever you call it. But go to Google Play, and I've been told you can also get this on your Apple phone as well. But it's called FN, F as in Frank, N as in Nancy, calculator.com. And go to Google Play and get that. And it's got all different kind of calculators in here. But the one that I use the most is what's called TVM calculator. For old timers, that replaces the HP 12C. So it's time value of money calculator. So you click that and you fill in the blanks of stuff you know. So for example, I know that for as long as my monthly PI payment now is not over $425, I'll make $300 a month. So let's put payments in at $425. Let's just max it out. Okay. And so I'm going to enter the payment of $425. Future value is going to be zero. Okay. Annual interest rate. So how much can you borrow? What's the term for 30-year fixed rate if that's where you're at and you're getting started? Because you can get those starting out. So I'm going to say, let's say 4.5%. How many periods? How many payments? 360. That's 30-year. And so now there's my terms. I know my payment's 425. Future value is zero when it's paid off after 360 payments. Annual interest rate 4.5%. So how much can I borrow? I hit present value $83,878. So if that fits, that'll work. And then I'm going to tell you something here that might cause you to get a little bit of eebie-jeebies. But right now in today's market, the prime interest rate, everything is the lowest interest rate we've ever had in America. So if you are starting out and growing your business and you're starting out from ground zero, borrow as much as you can for as long as you can, okay? Don't try to get a 15-year loan. If you can get a 30-year loan, do that. And we'll talk about why later on in other episodes because we don't have time to get into all that. So that's how you're going to run your numbers for a rental. So let's say that you want to make $400 a month. So you'd have rents $1,000, pay me first to be $400. Well, now down at the bottom, instead of that being $425, take $100 off. So that'd be $325. I'm pausing here a little bit so you can scribble it down and take a look at it. And so that's exactly how you run your numbers for a rental to see if this property, this house, is going to work for you as a rental property. Sometimes the numbers just don't work, okay? And so there's no need to even use the exit strategy of buy and hold. That's why you have this little formula here. Now, the next one is retail. So if you're going to buy, fix up, and retail this thing, if you're just going to clean it up and retail it, not really do any repairs or anything, got a little formula for that. Here's what you're going to do. Once again, scribble this down. Top line's going to be ARV, okay? Market ARV. That is after repaired value. What's the market value of this property fixed up? So you're going to plug a number in there. Now, the next line underneath that is take 85% of the ARV and plug that in there, okay? And we're going to allow that because if you're going to retail it, there's so many costs involved, especially if you got a real estate agent involved, somebody's getting a new loan. You know, there's some unwritten rule that the seller's expected to pay $3,000 of the buyer's closing cost. I mean, plus then you got commissions. And so ARV is after repaired value, market value. Take 85% of that as the next line. Line three is pay me next. Pay me first. How much do you want to make on it? $20,000, $30,000? $40,000. The higher the number, the more expensive the property. Hopefully, the more pay me first number is going to be. Then you're going to factor in your repairs. Now, we use what's called the little mini PISC card, and that's a property information sheet. And you get those in your boot camps when you come to my town, and I'll show you how to buy without banks. But so we're going to cipher up repairs, and the repairs. Are done very, very quickly, and there's not a whole bunch of ciphering. So we've got a flat fee for a kitchen, a flat fee for a bathroom that is over and above what it would really cost and things like that. So the higher the repair cost, okay, I've got a way to build in a way to cover the things you might miss, okay? And so we call it a fudge factor. And so let's say your repairs are $30,000. Well, then I always add in a 10% fudge factor. So if we cipher up that repairs are going to be $30,000, well, I'm going to add another $3,000 onto that for a fudge factor for the stuff I miss. Okay? So here's what you do. You take the ARV, do 85% of that minus pay me first, minus your repairs, minus your 10% fudge factor. And then whatever number that is, that becomes what's called our MAO, your maximum allowable offer. Now, that is your ceiling. This is not where you start. So let's say you fill in all the slots there and you determine that your maximum allowable offer on this property is $75,000. Well, that doesn't mean you start off with $75,000. That means if you want to make whatever amount of money you plugged in there to pay me first, then your offer cannot exceed your maximum allowable offer. That's your ceiling. So let's say it was $75,000. Well, I might start off at $55,000 or $50,000 or $60,000. Come in there below that so you got some room to go up and still stay under your maximum allowable offer or match it. Never, ever make your first offer your maximum allowable offer. You will lose, okay? So that's a simple explanation of how to run your numbers and get used to doing that. And that's what you're going to do on each property before you make your offer and when you identify your exit strategies, okay? Even if the property is not in that county that you want to do your buy and holds in, I want you to do both of these because now you will have some good quality, credible information to share with the person you're going to wholesale it to or to share it to somebody you're going to sell it to, okay? And not so much a retail buyer, but if you're selling to an investor or something like that, they'll want to know that information. They'll look to you as the expert and want to get more deals from you. So that wraps up this episode here. And so stay tuned. The next one coming up is going to be the Mike Butler Investor Pledge. Stay tuned for that one.
Glad you joined us for another episode of 5-Hour Real Estate Week. The best thing you can do now is put this information to action. To help you get started, Mike created a free resource for you called How to Buy 50 Houses a Year, Even with Your Job. Download it now by going to mikebutler.com/50houses. And we'll see you on the next episode.